Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex Snitker, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate and the man with the epic beard, Mr. Adrian Wiley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I think you were off script, though.
What do you mean I was off
well,
script?
Well, I saw that you actually had to write yourself a little script for the show intro on the show notes, and then you didn't read it correctly.
Well, what do you mean I didn't read it correctly?
Well, you didn't say it verbatim like you were supposed to.
Well,
on the
script. Here's the thing. Okay, hold on. Here's the thing, though. In writing that, it was never my intention, per se, to be exactly what it was. But I think that.
So it was just basically a reminder to say hello and say your name and my name.
Yeah, kind of. Well, okay, look, so because there's more than one show that I do, instead of thank you, Scott, I put thank you, Ledge, in the other one. And for everybody in Podcastville or Internet Land, I have something else in addition or wherever you may reside.
I'm pretty sure that everyone knows that Scott is not actually here reading that intro as we go. By the way, I'm a little offended. I just noticed that I'm called a political has-been in our intro.
Yeah.
Who thought of that?
You did.
Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? I wrote that. Never mind. I guess I can't pretend to be offended by something I wrote. Oh, well, I am kind of a political has-been, so.
Well, yeah, but you're viewing it as a negative.
I would
view it as a negative.
That's kind of the connotation of washed
well,
up.
No. I hear you. Well, yeah. Used up might not be that you did.
Oh,
it
yeah.
For, like,
yeah.
You're done. I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Burnout is a fair.
Burnt out. Yeah. Burnt out. You could say that.
That's a fair. So now these days we're much less political. At least I am, and much more familial and doing things that normal human beings, non-political human beings, get to do. So I had a week of that this week. Actually, my youngest son was in town, home from college for a couple weeks, and got to do some things with him. Man, we went up to. I got to tell you this. We went up to Cedar Key. This week to go fishing, and we're just going out for a day. And the rains that we've had.
Oh yeah, it's been raining all week long.
So, those of you who don't know the area, Cedar Key is in the Big Bend of Florida, basically, and it's like this one little town. If you've ever heard like a weather forecast, and there's like a tornado warning or a flood warning, it's always from like Cedar Key to Tarpon Springs. It's like one of the places that Noah picks because there's like nothing around it for 8,000 miles other than Cedar Key.
Yeah.
So we
maybe nobody's living there for a reason, though.
Well, it's gorgeous. I don't know why. It's a
small. Because it floods.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's what happens. So that we go up there and we try. There's one main road going out there. And, it's raining like just crazy. And the fire breaks throughout the forests and everything are turning into raging, flowing rivers. And we get out there and we get about halfway down the road. I think it's 473, County Road 473, to get out to Cedar Key. And there's a FDOT car, a truck actually parked in the road with the flashers on, kind of blocking the road, but you could go around it if you wanted to. So I stopped the car and get out and said, hey, what's going on? And it's a woman there. And I said, is the road closed? She says, well, sweetie, it's not closed yet, but we're thinking about fixing to go ahead and close the road. So I love
it when government employees use the word fixing to.
So I went back to the car. I told my son, I said, well, I don't know if we should risk it because it looks like one side was flooded out. It was basically there was one lane of traffic that looked passable.
And what vehicle are you in?
I'm in the Caddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
Right. So I'm debating it with my son. I said, well, she said they're fixing to close the road. And he said, oh, well, fixing to means they ain't. And I said, no, it means they might. I mean, when mom asks you to take out the garbage and you say, I'm fixing to, it may or may not happen.
That's true.
So we had a whole discussion about that,
so
but we decided
there's a chance.
Right. So we decided to find another way in. But man, I tell you what, it was bad. I mean, it was touch and go. Deer everywhere, gators everywhere. We actually, I almost ended up with a pet little gator.
Nice.
Because we had this little like the 3-4 foot gator. And every time we'd cast a bait out, it was in this flooded park near a boat ramp and everything.
Yeah.
And so we're wading in the water where land should actually be. And every time we cast it out, this gator would follow the bait all the way back up to us until it got to about 3 foot away from us. And he'd just sit there and look at us, and we'd cast it out again, and he'd go chase it again. We literally had this gator playing fetch
with
us. Like
you're playing like it was a cat.
It was, yeah, well, no.
Like it was a laser pointer or but, like a dog with a bone.
It would definitely, like, yeah, dog playing fetch. You know, that's every funny. Time we cast it out, he'd come back in, and I swear I was tempted to just grab that thing. And
did you give it, were you going to give it a nickname?
You know, I would have had to name it if I caught it, but
Alfred,
I wasn't quite ballsy enough to reach down there and grab it.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know,
maybe you shouldn't go out and touch alligators in the wild.
You know, it was a small one. You know, I definitely could have handled
it. Hey, you just would have lost an arm, you know?
Not an arm. A couple fingers probably, yeah, but you know, not an arm. So anyway, that was a good time dealing with the flooding. Oh, rattlesnakes everywhere because they were getting flushed out of their places.
Their holes. But,
yeah, it was like a tropical storm this week around here.
I mean, it was just, well, you know, it was steady, constant rain all week long.
Yeah.
Seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, it rained every day of the week, but like some days it rained more than others. And some days it rained all, like the past couple days, it just rained all day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a really weird pattern. I mean, we're not getting the normal thunder, you know, afternoon thunderstorms.
Well, the past 2 days, at least from, I'm not to be the, you know, meteorologist on the thing here. The past 2 days, it didn't seem like there was any, you know, lightning.
No, I haven't seen lightning.
That was just
in a while.
Rain. Yeah. It was just a rain event. I think it's called a rain event. Actually.
A rain event. Yeah.
Yeah, rain event. It was a massive rain event.
Really? And that's what we've devolved into talking about the weather? A couple old guys talking about the weather here.
Well, look,
how entertaining
it
are
had,
we?
But it had to do with your story, though.
That's true. But so, I had a good time. You know, my son, we got him back off to UCF now. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're taping today instead of yesterday.
That is true.
That's right.
Oh, man. Over at UCF, they actually have an NSA facility on the campus. I found out later that it stands for Naval something activity or something like that. So it's actually a naval station. But, you know, they had the guard gates and everything like that and the concrete barricades you have to go around to drive up to it and everything. And I was so tempted.
just to go through it?
Yeah. Yeah. But the last time I did that, you know, I was surrounded by guys with low IQs and assault rifles, so
yeah,
and they weren't letting me go.
Well,
so I don't do that as much anymore.
No, I'm glad to hear it. And yeah. And personal stories aside, there's a lot of stuff to go over this week, so we got a whole lot of stuff we're going into in the first hour. Now, I can tell you guys though, second hour though is going to be behind the paywall. You got to be a member to get the second
hour
this week.
That's right.
Be the first week we're doing it.
We're finally starting to try to make some money, kind of make a quasi-living doing this sort of thing. Hour number two, which is going to have some great content, kind of saving some really good stuff for second hour.
Yeah, we're going to do the Proud Boys against Antifa, and the Hong Kong protest, the difference between them, Adrian's great comparing of Nazi prisoner war camps to ICE detention centers, red flag laws and why Trump showed that we should never have them, and the reactions from both sides of the fence on that one.
Okay, much like your segues, we got to work on your teases too.
Well, okay,
you don't
bad.
Just read the bullet points. You got to kind of work it in there. You got to kind of finesse it. I mean,
I got you.
You're going straight into the you got
to
caress it a little bit.
Well, first off, I did want to thank the people though that
little,
were the new members.
Give them a kiss first.
Okay, well, hold on.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you to the conspicuous duffel bag members that signed up this
week.
That's
right. Yeah,
Alicia Henderson, Ken Owensby, and Brandon Jones. All, thank you very much. You're all added to the Facebook group.
We much appreciate you.
So, and if you would like to be part of that and get to hear hour number two, you go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage.
Can you spell that, please, Alex?
patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. Do you want me to unattended baggage?
I think they can figure that one out. But okay. Patreon was kind of a, you know, a little bit different. How do you spell that again? Can you repeat that?
P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
And they should go there and do what?
Sign up.
That's great.
That's what they should do.
Bring your credit card, folks.
However, though, in the first hour, though, I got a big story about Mike Hill. We're not going to get to that yet, but I got a big story about Mike Hill. But the first thing I did want to go over was something.
Who is Mike Hill?
Mike Hill is a representative in Florida, and in this hour, you're going to hear all about him and why he's completely useless, and really kind of like why he's not a bad person, but like if you see that he has a bill that he's supporting, why you should realize that that bill is officially dead. Mm-hmm. And he blocked me on Facebook for basically telling him that because I told him he was useless. I didn't even like yell at him or get mad at him. And the bill he was putting forward, by the way, would eliminate red flag gun laws.
I think you're already telling the story, so why don't you just go ahead down that route?
Hold on. Well, you want me to go down the route now?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, I want to hear the story because I intentionally didn't. You tried to tell me the story a couple of times, and I said, no, I don't want to hear the story until we're on the air because I want a legit reaction to it.
I got you. All right, so there was a Facebook post out there by a friend of mine. I'll leave his name out of it, but. Not for any bad or good reason, just I didn't ask him ahead of time. So he posted about the bill that Mike Hill is putting forward. He's putting forward a bill for red flag gun laws, to repeal the red flag gun laws.
Right. Which, for those of you who don't know, we do have red flag laws already in Florida. They instituted those a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was under Rick Scott.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they instituted these red flag gun laws. And my friend was very happy because Mike Hill has introduced this legislation. And when I saw his post, I wrote on his post, actually, in my opinion, this is sad news. And the reason it's sad news is that Mike Hill is the one that's actually proposing it. He won't do any work for the bill and it'll never get passed. He won't even get a Senate sponsor for the bill. Because if you go back to Mike Hill's own history, out of the bills that he sponsored in all the time he's been in Tallahassee, and he's got there. He was like the person that put together like the Northwest Tea Party group is who this guy was. And then he got elected into office in like the 2010 Tea Party wave, right? He did a couple sessions up of there. Then he ran for the U.S. Senate, ran for the state Senate, didn't win. It was either state or U.S. Senate, didn't win. And then just got elected in the last election cycle back to the state house. In all that time, bills that he sponsored himself, zero have passed. None.
Right.
Goose egg.
Well, let's just for a moment, let's backtrack a little bit and explain to people how things work in the legislature. Any representative and any senator can put out six bills.
A year.
Okay. And so what ends up happening is usually they fill them up. They do all six. But they don't necessarily work for some of the bills. Like, for example, a representative may have like a donor who's really adamant about this one thing and they say, you got to put a bill in for this. And they say, okay, well, I'll sponsor that bill and we'll put it in. If they don't push it, if they don't take it around to the committees, if they don't, you know, pressure committee chairs to put it on the agenda of their committees, they got to work the bill. So it's not just the fact that a legislator sponsors a bill is completely meaningless because, you know, only about 5% of the bills ever actually pass.
A very, very few. I don't think it's as low as 5, but it's very few, though.
I'm doing that off the top of my head, but it seems like it's probably about
that. Well, maybe it is.
It's 10.
It's like 2,000 get proposed, and 200 may pass.
So, all right.
But
so,
less than that.
Yeah,
so between 5 and 10%.
5 and 10%. It's in that range. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not a lot. No. It's not a lot of bills that end up getting passed.
Okay. So I just wanted to explain that so people understood the difference between proposing a bill and actually getting it through the process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and here's the thing. Keep doing that because, like I said, I'm all over the map on this.
Right.
But there is an overall point that I want to make. Like, it's weird because there's a really good point to make with this guy's story. But let's get back to it.
Okay.
All right. So last year, in the session last year, he proposed the bill to get rid of red flag gun laws. He proposed a firearm bill, but then withdrew it prior to the introduction. Now, he's claiming that he introduced it back again as a repealer bill, but he didn't really do that, though. But you know what else he did last year, though? This would have a tobacco products bill that would have prohibited the sale of flavored tobacco products, included products used in e-cigarettes, in retail locations unless people 18 or under are not allowed in the building. So basically all the convenience stores he was trying to ban.
Couldn't sell them, yeah.
Couldn't sell them in there. So that's a pretty bad anti-liberty bill, to be honest with you. He did another bill when it came to the fetal heartbeat bill, which he knew was going to go nowhere.
Right.
Requiring notification of parents in advance of classes that would include sex education and protecting war memorials and monuments, including Civil War monuments. It was the one to protect the Civil War bill.
Right.
Are you seeing a pattern here, by the way?
Yeah. Red meat that goes nowhere.
That's right. It's red meat that goes nowhere. There's one bill that he did, which was to give $4.1 million to pave parking lots and roads at Pensacola State College. But that failed too. So
even the pork
bill's not getting through with Mike.
Right. Now, and that traditionally is a sign that nobody in the legislature respects them, fears them, or likes them?
You really didn't read the notes? And
no.
That's, so it's amazing that you said exactly that, because that's exactly right. This guy gets in trouble a lot, but here's what he's getting in trouble for. He's not, okay. And some people aren't going to really understand this all the way. He doesn't, when you go up there, you do have to work to get your stuff passed.
Right.
So that means you have to do the things that are required to do, including to be, at least have some common decency and be nice with people.
Right.
This guy's got none of this. So he went out, he went to a constituent meeting, and he said that somebody talked about like Corinthians and how no man should ever lay with a man or they'll be killed or something like that. Okay. And
Leviticus.
And so what happened was the woman, there's a woman in there, and that woman said, well, we should pass some legislation like that. You should introduce some legislation like that. And he's like, well, you kind of, and they all laughed about it. And he was like, oh, it should be, that'd be kind of funny. You know, like he'd be, oh, well, let's see how that passes. Hold on, let me open up the story because I want to get to exactly what his quote was. And this is
so. Wait a second. So he was talking about actually proposing a bill that would outlaw homosexuality, huh?
So a citizen comment in Corinthians 1, it says that a man who has an affair with another man will be put to death. Hill's response: it says that in the Old Testament too. Another attendee asks, "Can you introduce legislation?" Chuckles are audible. The state representative joins in laughter. Wonder how that would go over. Hill says. So again, like the thing is this, you just said that you wanted to put gay people to death and you wanted to make basically, you wanted to joke about it, how there's legislation to put forward to put gay people to death. You shouldn't be saying that kind of thing.
You know, his response there could be interpreted. I would almost give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know this guy.
Okay. No. Okay. So here's the thing. Understandable.
The fact that he laughed and said, well, you really can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's like, I wonder how that would go over. You know, but I mean,
yeah, right. Yeah, that's a
now when asked,
kind of, it could go one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. Now he doesn't apologize for these comments, by the way,
right?
At all. He, you know, those bill, you know, like so he actually got, you know, asked. What he said was, it's absurd to ask me to apologize for a statement that I did not make and that no one took seriously. It's a social media lynching. Now here's the thing. It is not necessarily a social media lynching.
Well, what was the response? Did he get hammered on social media?
Oh, yeah, no. And there, it's not only that. Like, there's calls for his resignation, and the other people, like the leadership in the House, is like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
So because of that, right. Then there's texts back and forth between Mike Hill and Chris Sprouse and Aliva, who are the current Speaker of the House and the next upcoming Speaker of the House that are like, dude, you know, like,
wait, Sproles is
Sprouse. Yeah. He'll be the next speaker after this guy's done.
It's pronounced Sprouse.
Yeah. It's Sprouse.
Huh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. He's my guy too.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
So, and he got and look, everybody condemned him for these comments, but everybody thinks they're Trump. And so this guy's another guy that thinks he's Trump too.
Right. Yeah.
But none of the other representatives like him. Like, not even because of this, but other representatives around him don't really like him. I mean, again, nobody's been so out front that they say that they don't like him.
Right.
But you can tell when somebody's not really, like, respected or liked in there. And he's definitely one of these people that fit the bill for this.
Right.
So he doesn't get any of his bills passed because he doesn't play well with others up there. And he's a lightning rod.
Well, he sounds like an asshole, basically.
Well, he is a total asshole.
Yeah.
Like, that's without a doubt. But, like, the thing is this. So when it comes up that this guy is the one that's proposing, you know, putting his name on this legislation, you know it's not going to go anywhere because none of his bills do. Not a single one of the 30 bills he has sponsored during the sessions that he's had directly has actually gotten passed. He's gotten a couple things passed, but like it was co-sponsoring some piece of legislation.
And it was it one of those bills that had like 30 co-sponsors?
Yeah. Like it's one of those things.
That's just jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, like... So this guy's nothing but problems.
So he's like 0 for 40.
0 for 30.
0 for 30, okay.
You know, so when somebody says this guy's put the bill forward, it's like crap. Like this sucks. Like this is horrible because this guy's not going to be able to get anything done. He's not going to do the work to make it happen. It actually damages the issue.
It hurts the reputation of the bill.
Yes, yeah. And
it damages the issue, exactly, because, yeah, if something keeps coming up... if something keeps coming up and, you know, gets shot down before it even hits a committee, or, you know, doesn't even get on a committee agenda, then yeah, it's going to be a kind of an albatross. Nobody's going to want that issue, you know. Now, it's probably for the wrong reasons, though.
What do you mean?
But, for example, if, like you were saying, if someone that wasn't an asshole, well, they're all pretty much assholes, but an asshole that other assholes thought was an acceptable asshole sponsored the bill, it would go somewhere. Because if they did favors for others or had favors owed to them, that's how you get stuff done in the legislature, you know. But that's what it takes.
Well,
like, for example, Jack Latvala, biggest asshole on the face of the earth as far as I'm concerned. But everybody feared him. And nobody liked him, but everybody dealt with him because he was respected in a way and feared, you know?
Well, yeah, but he also was he would get things passed in a pragmatic fashion, but in the opposite kind of pragmatic fashion that we would want to see get passed.
In a corrupt, pragmatic fashion.
But on certain bills, we were with him on it, though. Like, if it was the craft brewery bills.
Right.
We were totally with him on those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but the problem is, and this is the lesson, is that sometimes it's worse to have a sponsor that's bad than no sponsor for a bill at all.
Yeah. Like, in some cases, it's better to not have a bill.
Like, you're not going to get any, in my opinion, you're not going to get any Second Amendment legislation passed that's pro Second Amendment in this session coming up, no matter what.
No.
The best you can do is you can stop bad legislation from being done. Like, this year is a year that you're going to play defense on legislation. Now, unless somebody good does the bill and you start talking about that bill, but understand, it's not going to go anywhere.
No, because, and there's a very specific reason for that. It's not just that we've had a couple of mass shootings. It's the fact that the president, who is the de facto head of the Republican Party, and this state is run by Republicans, is basically proposing that states do more for red flag laws.
Yeah.
Now, he's calling that out. So you, in this particular climate, in an election year specifically, or run up to an election year, you are not going to have a state legislature going against a sitting president. That's just not how party politics works.
Yeah. Now, you know? If you're not, and again, I know some of the reasons that we do the story time stuff is because I want to give Brian a lesson, or, you know, Brian asks for a lesson every week, right? Like, something to say.
Yeah.
This is why, if you're an outside party, what you should be doing right now is exactly going after this kind of legislation. But the problem is that you don't want to champion Mike Hill to do it. You just want to talk about this legislation and how they're not going to do anything about it, because they're not going to do anything about it. Like,
right.
this is a opening that has been that's wide open, and they haven't even fixed the problem anyway. Like, when it comes to getting rid of the, now, like, there's another bill that's up there that somebody else put forward that is a bill to allow for campus care.
Hang on a second.
Let's keep on Hill.
Well, we are, but I just want to go back to that point. If we were trying to make a lesson for libertarians right now, we would tell them to get together with Democrats and tell the Democrats that they need to oppose Trump and put in repeal red flag law bills. And what you would hang on a second.
Okay.
You have an environment which it is possible. It is possible that could happen. You could get a Democratic legislator to possibly sponsor that bill. You'd have to get a pro 2A, but there are a few out there. And you might have a little bit of Democratic support just because it would be counter to Trump. And you would literally put the Republicans in a position to kill a bill sponsored by a Democrat to repeal red flag laws in Florida. And they would be doing it specifically because of party politics.
Now,
you might be able to pull that off.
Here's the thing. I understand what you're saying, but when I talk about how it's better to have no sponsor than this bill sponsor, any of the Democrats are worse than having a Republican. Democrat bills go nowhere
I know, but that's an even better, if from a Libertarian Party perspective, that's an even better argument is, look, you had a Democrat put out what could have potentially been a bipartisan bill.
No, that Democrat will be primaried in their own party if they did that. Like, they are really, look, everybody's crazy on the gun stuff, and they're crazy on it, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not willing to go that far. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think you might.
Their play is he doesn't go far enough.
you get the right person that's anti-Trump enough, you'll get them to do that.
Yeah. So, hold on. But back to this guy, though. Let me just finish the point with this guy. He only picks bills that he knows will go nowhere, that he'll do no work for, that will give him sensational stuff.
Right.
Like, that's all it is. It's he's useless. So I told him on the thread that he was useless, and I explained why he was useless. And his response back to me was like, well, you don't know what you're talking about up there. You that's not how it works. You don't know what you're talking about. And even somebody from Florida, Kerry, was basically saying the same thing.
Right.
He's like, well, don't you understand that there's roadblocks up here? Like, this is a roadblock. Because Florida Kerry guy was actually not happy with me for doing this. But my point
is... Now, wait a second. He was not happy with you for...
Oh, for calling Mike Hill out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, because he's like, well, at least... Because, and this is the argument for my friend, too. Well, at least somebody's putting the bill forward, and we need to do that in order to get it passed. If your goal's to get it passed, this guy is in your way. Like, if you want to talk about roadblocks, you need to understand all the roadblocks you got. Mike Hill is like Scott Plakin. He's right. One of your roadblocks.
Right.
And it's amazing the guys that at the end of the day are the theocrats are the ones that are the roadblocks because he's playing to the theocrat base. Because Mike Hill is trying to be, he's really an authoritarian psychopath, not even a theocrat. Like, he's using religion as his cover for his, you know, his authoritarianness,
right,
in government.
Well, and he just wants to have something to be able to go back and have the same narrative with the Northwest Florida Tea Party, essentially. So he wants to be able to go back and tell the people in the room, I put forward this gun bill and you support your Second Amendment rights and look at these guys and you got to send me back there so I can keep fighting these guys.
Yeah.
And really, it's he's the problem.
He's part of the problem. He's not the whole problem.
Not the whole problem, but yeah.
But he's, and he, again, the Second Amendment stuff's not going to go anywhere this year, man. Here's the thing. I wish Mike Hill would be an honest, well, again, honest politician's an oxymoron. But if you were there to teach people how the process actually worked, you'd realize that Mike Hill is full of crap. And that was the thing about the thread was, Mike Hill's like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. No. It's because I know what I'm talking about
right. That
your game is totally transparent to me. And I know exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what damage it causes. And the problem is that not enough people actually understand it to be able to also call you out on your BS. And you'll say, you know, Mr. Libertarian. You're like, here's the thing. Even if you want to name call me with calling me a libertarian, which ideologically I am anyway, so all you're saying is an accurate statement. You're trying to say it's a pejorative, where I'm telling you chapter and verse exactly the game you're playing, why you're playing that game, and how this game is damaging everyone. And you're either too dumb to understand it, or you know exactly what you're doing, and you're a fraud on everybody.
Which,
either way, you shouldn't be in office.
Which do you think it is?
I think it's fraud. I don't think he's stupid.
You don't think he's stupid?
Oh, no.
Because some of these guys are really dumb.
No.
Shockingly
dumb. Look, I think that, Mike, he's probably not the sharpest tool in the shed. He's not an idiot, though. He knows what he's doing. You can't pick the bills every year like that unless you knew what you were doing. You have to know what you're doing in order to do it, where you're just picking the stuff that's going to keep you in the culture war, basically.
Right.
You know, or the abortion stuff, the fetal heartbeat bill. None of this, I don't want to say it's not going to go anywhere. If you believe in those things. But what I am going to say is, you're not even trying to do anything up there of substance. You're trying to just latch on to whatever issue is going to give you some attention in order for you to stay up there, but you're not doing what you need to do in order to move bills forward and to work this process. Brandis is up there. He's always working on getting criminal justice reform done. He's working these bills, though. But that means he's going to all the committee hearings. He's talking in every one of them. He's going to ones where his bill is at. Same with red light cameras. Those guys go to those committee hearings. It's why we liked, I forget his name right now, but and he got anyway thrown out because he was a jarhead. He was a Marine that was a Marine.
Right.
But he acted like one up there, and you're not allowed to do that. You can't say things that he said up there. I love the guy.
Yeah.
And he was wrong. Don't worry, he was a neocon, but on state issues, he was great.
Was that Dane?
No. Dane Eagle's still up there.
Is he still up there?
He's termed out after this, though.
Oh, okay.
He was great. Dane Eagle was
now,
great.
He's another guy. Dane Eagle is another guy. He would put in bills that he wouldn't work, but he would tell you up front,
You're talking about Greg Evers.
Oh, Evers. Yeah.
You're not talking about Dane Eagle.
No,
Dane Eagle
no.
works his stuff.
Greg Evers.
Evers wouldn't work it, though. He wouldn't work nothing. He's dead now, though.
Yeah.
He died, unfortunately. But Greg Evers was great. Where the moonshine flows and the marijuana grows.
Yeah.
I liked him. No, he was great. But the point is that, and again, the point I wanted to make here is that this is an opening a big opening because they're the, you know, Republicans passed this bill. And don't get me wrong, I understand why they passed it, but now it's time to repeal all the stuff. Like, I understand what the, because I was up there when they passed this bill. I was walking the halls up there.
Right.
Or I was trying to walk the halls up there. The anti-gun group or the gun control group at that time had every hallway filled with people across the Capitol.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of people up there, and they were all asking for a assault weapons ban. That's what they were asking for. And the legislature did what the legislature does. The least amount they needed to do in order to shut people up.
Right.
And that's what they passed, is move buying a shotgun from 18 to 21, unless your family member bought it for you or whatever. They did that, and it instituted red flag gun laws, and it did the Guardian program. That's what they passed, basically. And there's a couple little other things in there, too. But those are big things, though, like red flag gun laws. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Oh,
it hasn't been abused. It hasn't been abused too bad in Florida. But
I haven't heard any stories of it being abused in Florida. Have you?
Not off the top of my head. But yeah. I know that there's some out there, but not off the top of my head. But the thing is this, is that it hasn't been a huge problem yet. That's why what you have to do this year is make sure you continue to stay on the defensive, because the general public on this issue is in favor of adding more laws and rules.
Right.
They're just in favor of it, man. And so you have to make sure that they just don't get any of that stuff passed. It's a lot easier to kill a bill than it is to get a bill through. And that's another thing people need to understand, too. Like, what's victory? Victory is opposing stuff that needs to be opposed and then making sure it doesn't go through. So it doesn't get the committee assignments. It doesn't, you know, because you'll never get it past the House anyway. Like, that's where one thing's good, where in Tallahassee, the House works very, very well. But at any rate, and normally I would tell people not to speak about, like, if you wanted to work in Tallahassee moving forward and go up there and try to, you know, get legislation moving forward, that you shouldn't talk bad about the representatives when you're up there. But I got to tell you, with Mike Hill, I have no worries about that whatsoever, because he's useless. Because Mike Hill is a useless politician that none of the leadership likes anyway. So if you support any of his bills, it's more of a bad mark on you than anything else. And if you don't like Mike Hill, then you're on their side anyway. So if you want to get things passed hating on Mike Hill because he's not respected up there, because he doesn't deserve respect, because they know the game he's playing.
So wait a second. So you're basically just pandering is what you're saying. You're pandering to the legislature.
No.
By hating on Mike Hill.
No, no, no. I'm just knowing that I can. I'm knowing this guy's fair game and going after it. Don't get wrong. At this point, I'm going after anybody I want to go after. But I'm saying is that if you were a person that wants to go up there, going after Mike Hill is not going to hurt you. Not going to hurt you at all.
Not going to damage your reputation or chances.
No, not at all. Nobody else likes him either.
That's how
I mean, if you spend all your time going after him. Oh, okay. His competition, by the way. Okay, in the last race, we supported his competition, Rebecca Bidlack. Rebecca was a great candidate, did very, very, you know, we liked her a lot. She didn't win. Mike ended up winning. But Mike did some dirty stuff in the campaign. Like, he basically said that, well, if she doesn't have a kid, she doesn't know how to govern. And like oh, yeah, because she's a woman that doesn't have children.
And how is that a prerequisite for governing?
Well, in Mike Hill's theocrat mind, it is. He also said that she was with Hillary Clinton. Now, Bidlack's like a liberty person. Like, Bidlack is the opposite. Like, she's part of a group about, you know, exposing the federal debt in Washington. Like, you know.
Right.
Like, she's a liberty girl.
Right.
But Mike ended up doing just enough over there. And, you know, he had a little bit of a I've been up there before advantage over her, where he won by just a sliver of some votes.
Really?
That this next go around, like, the woman that is against him now has already outraised him.
Oh, that's
don't get me wrong. That woman's got some. She's going to have to get over some morality issues as well. But, you know, I think it'll be okay. I think Mike Hill's killing his reputation, even in the panhandle. I think he's killing his reputation, and I hope it gets killed all the way, because like this guy is so bad, he damages stuff because he'll latch himself onto these bills, and he does damage to these bills.
Right.
You know, like, that's what my problem is. And I think that's the lesson is sometimes it's better to have no representative at all and no bill being forward at all than to have somebody as bad as a guy like Mike Hill. And he deserves no respect nor support from you, because he's just, let him do his time. Ignore. This is what I do when I go around Tallahassee, and I was doing this before he blocked me on Facebook. I wouldn't even go to his office. I wouldn't go to his office. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. I don't need him. I don't want to talk to him.
Right.
He is not a good person to even discuss with. He should be shunned.
He should be shunned.
He should be shunned.
I like that.
He is being shunned.
Well, it sounds like he is. Yeah.
Oh yeah, in some ways he is being shunned.
Yeah.
But he uses it. I'm the outsider. No. You're an a-hole that now has to be outside. Like, you're not an outsider because of the bills that you're supporting. You're an outsider because you just are not good at you're doing your job.
Yeah, there's so many dynamics here. And part of it is just the system is so inherently flawed that, you know, a lot of good bills can't get through because they're put up by a shitty person, you know. So it's a lot of high school cliquishness in the legislature. And that is very true. It's true in Congress, too.
Well, no. Here's the thing. That is true. But there's also, if you are going to be the kind of person that doesn't get along with others, I understand the click thing, and I don't disagree with the click thing. But there's also just being an a-hole. And, like, that in and of itself is a bad thing that you shouldn't do. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense. Like, I wouldn't.
No, it does. It does.
There's times that you can indict these guys for the wrongs that they do. But when it comes to Mike Hill, there's something different here. Like, you don't play well with others.
Well, I think the entire system is just inherently wrong, inherently flawed.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, in the fact that the way stuff, everything up there is quid pro quo. And it's almost always quid pro quo for something that benefits one of those guys personally. And whether that's, and sometimes it's literally benefits someone personally financially. That does happen. It's, you know, backroom deals. It's where somebody's brother-in-law is getting a state contract to do construction work, or, you know, the governor's brother is getting a contract to sell textbooks to Florida schools. In the case of Jeb and Neil Bush, you know, back in the day.
Oh yeah.
There's
the cronyism.
There's always something like that. So somebody is getting paid somewhere along the line. And the other backroom deal is someone is getting something to bring home to their district. So it's like, I'll jump on this bill. I'll co-sponsor this bill for you. If you co-sponsor my bill, or if you got a committee assignment, you're a committee chair, you put this on the agenda for your committee. And this brings some money back to my home district. So I get reelected, you know, then I'll do your thing. And it's all that. It's everything. Everything is backroom deals.
Oh yeah. No, there's always a lot of it there.
Yeah. It's always horse trading out there.
Well, the thing is though, this is why a couple years back, not to give Corcoran or Richard Corcoran some love here on this one, but he passed a bill that you had to separate them all now, where every one of them had to be a standalone bill.
Right.
That was a good move in the fact that you couldn't just lump a bunch of stuff together and then do the kind of horse trading you're talking about.
Right.
There's still horse trading that goes on, but it's more of
it's for whole bills now. It's not for
each bill's its own thing, so yeah. You can get a yes or no, up or down vote on a lot of that stuff.
That was a good thing. Was a good thing because they used to just bury it into everything. You would get a transportation bill that was guaranteed to pass, you know, just a transportation budget bill, that sort of thing, guaranteed to pass. And you would have amendments in there that were just like, what the hell is this doing in there?
Yeah.
You know, I constantly, and it's because it was all the dealing. Hey, you want my vote? You got to throw this little chunk of pork in there.
Yeah.
Or you got to throw this contract to my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's
my cousin Vinny.
Yeah, who's going to give me a nice kickback when
he's going to give me, you know, he's a Fredo, man. He's Fredo. He's a good son. Not that I'm making fun of Fredo, but
yeah.
You heard that story with Cuomo. We'll get to that later on, though.
You know, we should probably go ahead and hit it now because we're on the red flag thing anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So okay. It does make sense.
We're not very good at this whole tease thing. We're trying to make you pay for the second hour, and we're thought, oh yeah, we'll put that behind the.
Oh, and I couldn't put the Mike Hill story in the second hour. Like I'm like, well, I want people to really hear this one though.
Yeah.
Like I don't want just a couple people in there to hear it. Like I almost wanted to give it to everybody.
But that's not going to last forever, folks. We're going to start putting.
Well, we'll always put some good stuff in the first hour too. But
yeah, we'll put the real gold nuggets though in the second hour. So you gotta pay to get that.
Yeah, you gotta pay. Exactly, you gotta pay to get that.
But yeah, how about everyone's fair-haired boy, Donald Trump, threatening to use red flag laws to take Fredo Cuomo's guns away? And I'm only gonna call him Fredo for now on, just because that's, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's that if he hadn't done that, no one would ever call him Fredo again.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
You know, I'm part Italian, and I didn't know. I never heard the Freddo one. I mean, Guido, Wop, Guinea, Greaser.
Yeah, but Freddo's
not
a thing, though. That's not even a thing. Like, that was just BS made-up stuff.
No. Apparently, to us Italians like me, that's our quote-unquote N-word.
Yeah, no, it's not, though.
I saw someone make a comment. If you are afraid to use the entire word and you just give it a letter word, then it's not. Yeah. It's not as bad.
He used the F word. That's exactly. Right. That's what it would be. He used the F word.
Have you noticed that? We're running out of like single letter words.
Well, you only get one bad word that starts with each letter.
Yeah, but they're starting.
The A word, yeah. The B word, the C word, the D word.
Well, wait a second.
What's the D word?
Well, it's, there's really isn't any.
Douchebag. Maybe.
Damn, maybe, back in the day.
Damn.
Like when you were five. But the F word, for example.
Yeah.
I've heard people try to use the F word. Obviously, now it's Freddo, but prior to that, it was fag. Remember everyone used to say fag, and it was just no big deal? It was like not
well, yeah,
a...
Yeah, because the F word is fuck.
Right, the F word is fuck.
So you can't use, like, it's already got a letter. You can't, like, the gay community could not change it from fuck to fag.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, so the...
And you're not changing it to Freddo.
Is it the F2 word?
You don't get the... Yeah, it's only one. That's
yeah,
the rule.
That's it, you know? What's the C word? We know the C word.
Well, we know the C word.
But what if another C word came along?
No, it doesn't.
Would
it
be worse?
It has to be.
Yeah.
In order to change it, it has to be worse.
And you know, that's got to say, that's sexist that the women get the C word, not cock. Why can't we have it for cock, us men?
We lost, man.
It should be cock.
Well, it's not. It's not going to be. It's not going
to
be.
And I am so conditioned by women that I'm actually afraid to say the C word, even though we're on a podcast. I'm afraid to say it because my wife might actually, you know, hit me. That's one of those words
you know
don't say.
Here's the thing. You only say that word at a time frame in which it really means, like, you really have to say it.
I don't think I would.
I like how the English say it, though, because the English, or like Game of Thrones.
Right.
Oh, they had a great use of the word there.
You can say it in historical context, or if you're wearing a period outfit. You know, not a period like, you know, my Aunt Flo, but period like time period.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say it. For some reason, it's okay. And if you say it with an English accent, it's not so bad. But you know, as a plain vanilla American type dude, I'm afraid to say it.
You don't really say it. Okay, but let's get back to what did Trump actually say? So he talks about these red flag gun laws,
right?
And then he puts out
He doesn't just talk. He doesn't just talk about the red flag gun laws. He actually says we need more of this. He supports it. And keep in mind,
on a federal level.
Keep in mind, this is not some reactionary thing that he's just doing it to the recent shootings. And by the way, folks, there aren't any more shootings today than there have been for the past four decades. It's been about the same amount of mass shootings as it's always been. It's not
they get
epidemic
more media
right
attention.
Now. They could just get more media attention. But remember that he said a couple of years ago that he supported red flags laws. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty quote, "I support taking away the guns first and going through due process second."
Yes, he did. He did say that.
And that might be, that's pretty close to the exact quote that he said.
Mm-hmm.
He is in favor of, if there's any question, just take the guns away.
Yeah.
And so this has always been his position. This is nothing new. And you know, here's the other thing I have to say about this, is Republicans are like, yeah, well, that's a good idea. That just missed it. You fucking hypocrites. If that was Obama doing that, you would be going out of your fucking minds. You would be having rallies in the streets with fucking banners saying that he is the Antichrist and this is the apocalypse. But because it's your fucking boy doing it, oh, well, that's okay. That's a good idea. Seriously, folks, you're fucking hypocrites. Fuck you. That pisses me off. But anyway, back to our point. Where were we going with this?
So what happened is that Chris Cuomo, some guy
in
a bar.
By the way, if you were wanting to go and rally out in the streets against Obama, you were correct. You should be doing it against Trump, too. I'm not saying that Obama's right. I'm saying that you should be doing this now.
Ideological consistency.
Yeah. Obama, folks, and this is a guaranteed fact, Obama has a far better record on the Second Amendment than Trump does so far.
Well,
far better.
Obama was the one that let the bump stocks go, and Trump was the one that got rid of the bump
stocks.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They also were part of Fast and Furious, which was a way to drum up kind of a way to have gun control, more gun control pass. But
That was putting more guns on the streets.
Well, technically, they were putting more guns on the streets.
They were distributing guns to people. That was a great idea.
Well, yeah, and the dirty little secret.
Obama believed in arming the American people.
Hold on. When it comes to the gun industry themselves, Barack Obama was the greatest salesman of guns that there ever was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, just say it. Just say what it is. So, okay, so Cuomo was at this event, and there was a guy that was heckling him and called him Fredo.
Right.
Cuomo.
Because didn't someone on TV call him Fredo?
I guess. I don't remember where this was.
Yeah, I think.
It's a nickname that stuck with him, though. It's a nickname he has.
I think
now
it was like
Fredo.
Limbaugh or somebody called him Fredo.
May have been.
Yeah.
And the reason they call him that is he's the dumber younger brother of someone else.
Yeah, well.
That's what it is.
Mario and what's
well, the... Well, no, Cuomo, the other person's like...
Yeah, right. Yeah, dad's Mario, his brother is... I forget the other Cuomo.
I don't remember
his
name.
But they're a whole political family.
Yeah. So, but this guy's like the dumbest one of all of them. At least that's the way that it was made. And that's why they called him Fredo. He tries to turn this around like it's a racial thing and then threatens the guy to throw him down the stairs. I'll throw you down the fucking stairs. Like, he actually got really, really mad about this, right?
Right.
And it got on video. Imagine that. It's on video. So this video...
2019? It's on video?
It's amazing.
What a shock.
Oh, maybe you shouldn't do dumb stuff.
Right.
In public places. In public. Shouldn't do them in private places either, but it's a different story.
Or in front of Alexa or Google.
Or to sit for a painting of you in a blue dress, you know?
That was hot, by the way.
All right, we'll get to that too. Right. All right, so now Donald Trump, in his Twitter universe, writes... Would Chris Cuomo be given a red flag for his recent rant? Question mark. Filthy language and a total loss of control, period. He shouldn't be allowed to have any weapons, period. He's nuts, exclamation point.
Right.
Not in all caps, by the way, so I'm glad that, you know, at least he didn't put it in all caps. So he puts this out there. And then, you know, God love Justin Amash. And you know, hat tip for Kins Owensby, one of the members for one of the members of the unattended baggage team here, for putting up Justin Amash's response, which was perfect. Thank you for illustrating why Americans shouldn't trust that your red flag laws won't be used arbitrarily to violate our rights.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And if you're thinking, well. And I've actually heard some people say this, some Trump supporters saying, well, I'm glad that they're going after a liberal. They should be taking the guns away from liberals.
What?
Are you out of your mind?
Like, do you realize really? How bad that sounds?
Well, not only that, if government has that power, the next time somebody that's not on your side gets into office, you're going to be the target.
Yeah. That's why you want to take the power away entirely.
Right. Right. Government should never have that power. It doesn't matter who is temporarily in office. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, I don't get it.
And again, Florida already has red flag gun laws. We already have them.
Well, they should.
It happened because of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Right.
It's what happened.
Right.
You know? And again, you can want to get rid of them. I agree with you. I want to get rid of them too.
Well, actually, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the person, didn't have anything to do with
it. Well,
no,
because of the shooting that happened at the high school. Yeah. So because of that, we already got him. Like, so you can even be mad at Trump, but he's a New York Democrat that is a populist and he's acting as such.
Right.
Because that's what they do, man.
And the Trump supporters just do not see it. It's the most extreme example of cognitive dissonance that I've seen in a very, very long time. It's like, I don't even understand how the pathology of their brain malfunction can make this happen. How does that happen? How do you not see it? How can you justify that when you know for a fact that if it was a Democrat doing it, you would be going out of your mind? I know I'm harping on it here, but it astounds me. It makes zero sense to me.
Oh, okay. Well, Donald Trump told you. He already said it, and I'm going to repeat it right now. He was at a New Hampshire rally, and at that New Hampshire rally, he said, and, you know, I guess sometimes it's, you know, saying the thing out loud that you shouldn't be saying out loud, but he said this at the rally: you have no choice but to vote for me at the New Hampshire rally. So he said in the campaign on Thursday, you have no choice but to vote for him, warning that everything would be down the tubes if he does not win re-election in 2020. So the bottom line is this: I know you like me. This room is a love fest. I know that, but you have no choice but to vote for me because your 401k is down the tubes. Everything's going to be down the tubes, Trump said while speaking in Manchester, New Hampshire. So whether you love me or hate me, you're going to vote for me, he added. That's what he said in a rally.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think actually right now he's scared of the economy tanking.
Well, that is true. That
yeah,
is
true. I think that's the one thing he's terrified of. And if you notice the way he phrased that, can you reread that quote?
Yeah, sure, sure. Okay, let me get back to that. The bottom line is, I know you like me, and this room is a love fest. I know that. But you have no choice but to vote for me because your 401k is down the tubes. Everything's going to be down the tubes, Trump said while speaking in New Hampshire. So whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Right. Well, see, the way he said that, your 401k is down the tubes. Everything's going to be down the tubes.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's thinking about right now. Because, honestly, you know, a lot of things are coming home to roost. Some of them his fault. Most of it not. It's just, you know, the natural cycle of the, you know, fractional reserve lending and central banking system that we have.
Yeah, but the China trade war stuff, that's on him.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the trade war is on him, the tariffs are on him, and that is a contributing factor without question. So he's partially to blame for the recession that's coming, and it's coming, folks. There's no way around it at this point. But
whether it gets here before the 2020 election or not, it's a different story.
It's going to start to be felt before that. I don't know if it's going to be full on by then.
Well,
yeah.
If it is, he's not going to win. But that's his mindset on it. And right. And here's the thing: what they're
he knows that. Yeah, that's exactly what he's thinking. If this hits first, what he's trying to do with people is plant the seed somehow that it's not going to be his fault if it happens.
Yeah. Well, you know? And also, look, here's the thing. This is why Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are being put front and center. It's why he's going after them.
Right.
Because he wants them to be the face of the Democrat Party that he's up against. Because if they're the face of the Democrat Party that he's up against, then he wins the re-election.
Right. Right.
Like, he wins. Like, because those two are, like, everything he says about them, they are.
Yeah, they are pretty radical.
They're
exceptionally radical.
They're anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're definitely anti-Semitic.
And this whole thing with not being allowed into Israel, again, now they're trying to blame Trump for this one, but in all reality, the reason was is because the Israelis looked at their agenda and said, we're not going to let you in the country if that's what you're going to do. Like, well, we're just not going to let you in.
I thought they let her in.
No, no. Then what happened is she said, I won't say anything. I just want to go see my grandmother.
Right.
And they said, okay, you can come in. And she said, well, I'm not going in if you're going to not let me say something.
It's just politics then.
No, it's just posturing.
She's playing politics.
And she's playing posturing with her grandmother.
Right.
Like, wow. And now we've heard from the grandmother. It's like, you know, damn Trump to hell or something like that.
Right.
Because now Trump's comment on that one, actually, again, it wasn't good, but it was funny. He was like, oh, I wish I had that quote off the top of my head. I didn't realize we were going to go down this road, but... Basically, he was like, well, she's not going over there, and that's good news for her grandmother, so she doesn't have to see her.
I did see
like, that. Like, what? You know what it is, man? Trump is just an a-hole. Like, here's the thing. Like, a lot of stuff that they blame him being racist, I just think is him being an a-hole. Like, he has no Fs to give, and that's all. He'll just say whatever he wants to say and screw the rest. You're either going to love him or hate him. No matter what, you're going to have to vote for him.
Yeah.
Weird deal, man.
Yeah.
Nobody else is this guy. No one else.
No. No. And... thank God.
Yeah, he is unique in politics, and he is breaking the system. And in many ways, I actually will even say, I'm glad he's doing some things to break the system. But he is definitely not a person that, like, you shouldn't... I'm glad in the fact that he's taking the presidency down to
yes,
this level.
Yes, I love that. I hope that whoever is next, I don't give a shit if they're a socialist. I don't give a shit if they're a theocrat. I don't care what they are. As long as they're worse than Trump, as long as they make people respect the presidency less and less, because that's my ultimate objective, is for people to, you know, have such little respect for our government that they basically completely ignore it, stop paying taxes, and it just collapses under its own weight. You know, just ignore government.
I agree. You know, I'm with you on this part.
Hey, it worked for my homeowners association.
Yeah, no, that's funny. That's funny.
We ignored it. We got everyone to stop paying dues, and it just collapsed under its own weight.
Yeah.
Now we don't have one, and nobody can tell me that I can't have chicken in my yard.
Yes, that's very. That's.
I don't have chickens in my yard, but no one's telling me that I can't.
I would say that your neighborhood doesn't look bad.
You say it doesn't look bad. My neighborhood looks great. It's a great neighborhood.
No, it looks good. But the thing is this, though, like, they're not all the lawns are manicured and not all the.
Oh, no,
you know,
no.
There's a couple cars in a front yard somewhere.
Yeah. You know, people might park.
Living in your neighborhood.
Yes. Yes.
It looks lived in.
It's a really nice middle class neighborhood. But yeah, you're right. The lawns aren't perfectly manicured and, you know, that sort of thing. And yeah, somebody might park on their grass. In fact, we park on my grass. We've got, you know, three cars. And
I've parked on your grass.
You've parked on my grass.
I have.
Yeah. So
and I liked it, actually.
Yeah. I parked on grass and I liked it. Yeah. But yeah, so that's my objective. So whoever is after Trump, and I don't care if it's this election or the next election, I just hope that they are, see, you know, I, for a minute I liked Tulsi Gabbard, but then I realized she's far too respectable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's a quasi-socialist, which is good. She'll bankrupt the country faster, which is always a good thing. But, you know, she's a little too respectful. We need someone more ridiculous than Trump. And that's a pretty tall order, I'd say.
That is actually a pretty tall order, Adrian.
Is there anyone in the Democrat pool that I can support that's going to be, just a flat-out socialist, is going to bankrupt the country quicker, and B, is going to be more ridiculous so people have even less respect for the presidency than they do now? There's got to be somebody.
Maybe Bernie?
Nah, even Bernie, he's got a little bit more...
You know, because he's so useless too, though, because he got kicked out of a commune, I just don't have the faith that he could actually get anything done.
Yeah, you're right. He's almost too... He would be too ineffectual.
And maybe Elizabeth Warren, too. No, I put her in the same category with Bernie.
Yeah, well, no, but she's... You know, and she's an engine, so you know you can't. There's that engine factor there. So
she's an engine.
Yeah,
huh?
You can't trust those Redskins, man. You never know what they're gonna do. But there's got to be someone. Is there anyone else in the pool that's more ridiculous? Beto? What about Beto?
Oh, he's not gonna get it.
Who's the Asian dude?
Oh, Pete Buttigieg. No, not Pete Buttigieg. Oh my God.
Oh wait.
Oh come on.
Yeah, the guy with the name.
Chin? No.
The guy with the name that looks like Butt Gig.
Well, Peter Buttigieg, yeah. That's,
yeah.
He's the mayor of like a town in Indiana.
Butt Gig, yeah. Butt Gig. I like Butt Gig. Just because his name's so ridiculous.
Oh, okay. I'm
not going to pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. I'm just going with Butt Gig. But the Asian guy, maybe. He cries a lot. So he cried over gun control recently.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
so
he did.
That might be a good thing. But yeah, so let's go for ridiculousness, folks. Let's find the most ridiculous, untrustworthy, and socialist candidate we can so that we can just, you know, collapse it quicker.
Yeah.
So what we got going in hour number two? We're coming up against hour number one.
We are coming up against
a hard break. This is your, and you freeloader folks are getting cut off now. We're done with you motherfuckers. Now, you wonderful folks that are paying us, guess what? More content coming your way.
Yeah, we're doing another hour.
A whole another hour. But fuck you freeloaders. You know, pony up.
They can share the video. They can share the content for the first hour. We can get more. They can help, man. You don't have to just... Look, it's not just... Look, let some people just listen to the show for the first hour and don't judge.
I'm judging.
I know you are judging.
I'm judging.
I'm just telling you not to.
I need a new pair of shoes. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Homie
is getting paid. That's right. What I'm talking about.
Well, and
so hour number two, what do we got going on?
So we got going on. I got to still get to the veteran discount at Lowe's and and why that angered me this morning.
And I got a veteran's discount, or not discount, but another veteran's story.
It's an issue
with
that. You got the Proud Boys against Antifa, you know, the round five or whatever.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then the Hong Kong protest, the differences between them.
Right.
How you want to compare prisoners of war camps during World War II to ICE detention centers. Which is funny.
One is much nicer than the other.
There is one that's nicer than the other from watching the video. My story about my going to the podcast convention this week. You went to the flea market. You had a flea market story this week. And the difference between public libraries and public schools, because you know what a big fan of public schools I am. Or public libraries, not schools.
You are a fan of, public libraries.
I do like libraries.
You're
I
very
like
statist in that regard. So
yes.
If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, go to patreon.com and sign up now. And guess what? You can join us for hour number two. We hope you're there.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I still got to get the outro music.
Well, get with it, man. I gave you the perfect outro, and you blew it. I'm going to have to start controlling the music from now on because you just really suck with that.
Yeah, I didn't work as quickly as you would have liked.
You need to get on the ball. Hour number two, coming up.